So I want to go now to Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I'd like to have people become my light sometimes. And I'd like them to be my salvation, because if they change, I would be off the hook. Come on. I should have heard at least a couple of the amens there. Amen. You mean to tell me that everybody in your life is perfect and they're all pushing out love to you?
No.
How many have got a few frustrations? Thank you. But the Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom shall I fear? See, fear brings torment. And when you and I bow to fear and we serve fear, we end up in a major problem. Whenever we choose to be a servant of the Lord, fear is right there as a little buddy that comes along and jumps on your shoulder and says, "Pop!" How many know you'll never go to heaven on your butt? Supposed to be a joke. You're not going to go to heaven on your butt. You're going to go on your knees asking God to forgive you for going into your own mind to get the solutions. See, the Word of God gives you a promise. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? See, a lot of the fear tactics are to adjust you from a complacent place. They're there to irritate you. And yes, we need them. We need those negative thoughts inside so that we can become overcomers. They're not there by accident. My grandson made some comments last night. My wife and I took care of our great-granddaughter. We brought her back home, and he was home from his first meeting. And he went with his mom. By the way, his mom has been a recovering alcoholic now for quite a few years, and I can't tell you how many years she's been without the use of booze, but she's definitely helping her son. So they went to the meeting last night, and he said, "Pep, I had something to say that I never thought I could do." And he was able to get up and speak about his experience of how the fear and torment would be able to control him and make him lie, which is something he hates. How many have ever done something they hated to do? How about hating it in someone else and you end up doing the very same thing yourself? Yeah. Irritated to no end because of their disgusting lies, and then you end up, what? Lying to cover for them. You see the tactics of fear? Whether they're operating in you or whether they're operating in me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where they're operating from. But the bottom line is, he got up and he made some comments. He says, "But I didn't expect to make my mother cry." You know, their mother's a wonderful lady who's learned an awful lot. She accepted the Lord many years ago, got filled with the Holy Ghost, but then decided to walk on her own and solve her own problems. And I'm not blaming her. I'm saying that was the walk that God chose. And it was different than I would have expected. You know, the expectations you have in your heart are only that. They're expectations. I had some expectations, and by golly, they didn't come forth the way I wanted. When that prophetic word came that God was going to give us two more sons, we listened to that cassette tape, my wife and I. I can't tell you how many times in those 5 years before the boys got delivered. I can't tell you. I don't remember. But I can tell you this. We rehearsed that word. And we said, God, you're going to do this. I don't know how. And I can remember some of the difficulties we had, because Irene would go into the depression stage and I would get into the anger stage.
Amen.
Why am I needing an amen? Because you visited it. How many have visited depression? He comes over when you least expect him. Right? That's really saying, I don't trust God. I'm going to trust emotions. Amen? How about the anger? Yeah. The same thing. It's another emotion. Are you going to trust it to control you? Or are you going to trust God's abilities? And we went up and down. When we did, we'd go back to the Word and we'd say, God, you're in charge. God, you're in charge. We don't know when or we don't know how. But I can tell you this, there was a lot of tears and a lot of hurt that was dealt with in the process. And God was preparing both of us. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, remember, 48 and 5 is how much? 53. I'm now dealing with a 10-year-old. And I'm not happy about it. I'm happy they're with us, but I'm not happy with all the challenges that it brings. My emotions are not happy because it's not happening 5 years before. And there's a lot of blame game thoughts in my head. Well, if his mother wasn't drinking, blah, blah, blah. Well, if his stepfather wasn't abusing, blah, blah, blah. You understand where I'm coming from? These are all wonderful thoughts. And they make me feel great, because I'm supposed to be so good. But I've got attitude too. So what do I do? The Lord is my light and my salvation. So I cried out to the Lord, educate me, let me see myself. Look at your neighbor. So you need to see yourself. How many don't like looking in the mirror? Every time you get a little older, it gets worse. But God is down in the control room. Amen? What am I saying? I'm saying to you that out of the tests, out of the hardship, God was building character in me. Godly character. He was changing my emotions. And I wasn't trusting them. He wasn't letting me go with my thoughts all the time. He was showing me how to get rid of them. And I learned a few scriptures. Number one, 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Why do you think I know it by heart? Because I had to pound it into me. Because I was used to serving fear. I was a slave to fear. I would compromise almost anything just to keep people from rejecting and pushing me away. I had to learn a few others. Like my mouth would confess what God says. And I can remember one particular day. I'm in the bathroom. And my wife is doing the spring cleaning, I believe. So she's washing everything in the bathroom. And there's this little folding card. It's like a little house of cards, you know. And on both sides it says, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And she says, you know, she says, this thing is getting pretty ratty. She says, maybe we throw it out. Ah, I said, no. She says, Kim, it's been there for years. It's all discolored. But the Word isn't discolored. It's a promise that I'm holding on to. And boy, do I do thinking in the bathroom. So I said, no, it's got to stay there. It's still there. It may be ugly. It may not be matching the colors. But it's a word that definitely keeps me back on track every time I start falling apart emotionally, and sometimes even physically. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Not some things, not the things you want to turn over. All things. That included teenagers in my house that I had expectations about. How many have got expectations? When you get to a certain age, you have expectations. By the time I get to be 60, I'm going to be able to do this and this and this. And guess what? I didn't do any of those. Plus. That's right. So don't put expectations too much, because you know what's going to happen? God's going to put a dynamite stick on there. He's going to blow it up.
And He will.
And He will blow it up. And you've got to be ready to adjust. And you've got to be ready to say all things work together for good. Yes, the Lord is my salvation, but He's not going to stop being your Lord in the midst of your trials. A few weeks ago, Linda shared that her backyard is quite challenged. And you have two or three dogs?
Five
dogs in her backyard. I'm sure that 20 years ago you had plans for your backyard. But now they're being readjusted, right? And I'm sure you're declaring all things work together. And by the way, they're not chihuahuas. They're great dogs. Verse 2 is also important, because when you're looking at flesh, if you don't have this word, you're going to fail. When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. It doesn't say if, it says when. So it's going to happen. You're going to have challenges. Verse 3, though an army besiege me, Dan, my heart will not fear. Those of you who think I'm picking on Dan, yes, Dan is one of our Marines. And he's going to be heading out. The bottom line is, when the enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Why? Because you choose to be confident. You choose to go forward by choice, not by emotions. And you do the very best you can. And God will pour in grace to make you go the rest of the way. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Look at your neighbor again. His temple is you. And me. So you're going to find comfort in His temple. That means you're going to have to reach out to your neighbor once in a while. Yes? Catching on? Needing each other. Crying out to each other. I'm having a hard time today. Would you help me intercede? Why? Because when you expose your fears, what do you think happens? When you expose your fears, what happens? Yes, and the fear starts to disintegrate. That's the goal of exposure. When you expose whatever is giving you a hard time, and you say to your brother or your sister, I need help, I need intercession, I need prayer, you're humbling yourself, and God will lift you up. Verse 5, for in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. Some of you were singing earlier with the CD, and that's good news. You know, whenever you have a hard time and things are difficult, start praising God. Start rejoicing. Start singing the song that's in your heart. And you might be surprised at the results. Because God wants to set you free. He wants to lift you up. Verse 7. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me. O God, my Savior, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Why is it important to realize that even mom and dad can really make a mess?
They do.
I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. Put your right hand on your heart. Say, whatever mistakes my mom and dad did, I set them free. Because they were human, just like me. And I purpose in my heart to have God heal them. And I'm retiring from that job today. Because God's word says honor mom and dad. It doesn't say it's my job to heal them. It's God's job to heal them. And He's going to do it. In His time. Hallelujah. I had a hard time with that prayer. Because my mom and dad gave me away. And when they did, it was okay. But when I grew up, I was challenged by it. I couldn't understand. Again, emotions. Again, circumstances. But God's grace carried me to the next level. Stay obedient. Keep forgiving whatever was done wrong. Okay? Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord is receiving me. Verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. There are circumstances that are very difficult that we don't understand. Verse 13 is probably one of the most important. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That connects with your vision, young lady. So I want you to declare that with me. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I will stay confident.
I will stay confident.
I will see.
I will see
the goodness of the Lord,
the Lord.
In the land of the living. I will not have to die before I get peace,
before I get joy,
and before I get loved.
I will see
the goodness of the Lord
in the land of the living.
That includes this Christmas season.
For God's glory.
Amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads. Father, today, continue to heal us. Continue to make us strong and to take heart and to wait for you. Because you are in the control room. Even sometimes when I don't feel it. Even sometimes when I don't have any understanding of it. You are in the control room. And you'll complete your mission. And you'll heal. Like you're healing Chris. You're going to heal me. Whether it's a son, a daughter, a grandson, a granddaughter, it's not too hard for God. It just might be a little tough on me. Do I get an amen?
Amen.